and perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Walcott there.
A fighting through the middle of time.
He gets inside,
well
inside.
In anywhere that you can see us with your grin. Listening head and skin, you know, we're behind the chair.
Oh, Cotchin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And this is going to be a much happier podcast than it could have been.
Could have been. Nick, I want to take you back to a moment.
Yep.
9 minutes left to play in the game. We're down by a goal.
Yep.
Umpires are killing us.
The crowd's roaring.
We've given up a big lead. I'm angry at Dimmer for not using the sub. I'm already thinking about how I'm going to deal with my rage. How am I possibly going to get to bed when I'm so angry about this game?
Yep.
And then suddenly we just played the best half a quarter that I can the best last 10 minutes of a game that I can almost ever remember.
It's an underappreciated aspect of the 2014 Richmond Tigers is that we're actually a very good last quarter team. We've won 13 last quarters, which is better than Hawthorn's. If you only do something about those third quarters.
But, you know, it's one thing to lose a last quarter when win a last quarter when it's not that meaningful to the result, but to come from behind, 50,000 people roaring against you, sort of heroes all over the ground. Like, it's one of those great wins where you can find the big name stars who played well, but also the little guys who aren't as well heralded.
Nathan Gordon to kick the goal to put us ahead,
and according to Champion Data Stats, was the best player in the last 15 minutes of the game.
Anthony Miles in the last quarter, you know, 17 disposals in the second half. Ben Griffiths, you know, in and out all night, but. You know, stood up when it counted again.
See, you know, just to, before we start sort of analysing the game, Nick, just, you know, some of these little moments. Do you remember Grimes, you know, taking that nice contested ball, falling back, holding it up and then hand passing it off his back to, a surging Lids? There was a moment where there was a loose ball on the ground and Gordon came in and laid a heavy bump. And Lennon came in, and his first substantive possession for the game, picked it up and did a beautiful no-look hand pass over his shoulder to Vlossy.
I know, Lennon's night was fumbled the ball about 3 times, beautiful handball, and then in the middle of the ground, he's laced out a pass 45 metres to where only Dusty can get the ball. Dusty does the rest, match-winning goal.
Oh, look, it was a great kick, and, you know, it was a hard night. Can you imagine being on that bench for all that time?
Yep.
And, you know, I don't blame him for fumbling those first couple of kicks because it was a hard... I remember a wise man once said to me once, a couple of years ago doing this show, I suggested bringing on Ellis as a sub against Carlton in the round one game, and you said, it's pretty hard to come as a sub earlier in your career and play in front of 80,000 people. Well, Benin proved that, but... Once he eventually settled and found his feet, look, those two touches, they were influential two touches. One was very nice, didn't sort of change the outcome of the game. But that second touch, not many other players on the ground would have hit that kick because most of them would have been too tired and not have had the presence to hit it. So,
look, it's just a little sneak peek for the preview where, because I hope we've got about a decade or so of Lennon picking up the ball at half forward and spotting up forwards for marks and goals in the forward line. But look, it was a huge effort. Like we jumped them at the start. We were cleaner around the ball pretty much most of the night. We managed to overcome Jacobs having an awesome night in the ruck. Like it was a big-hearted effort.
It was. Now, if we're going to analyse the game seriously. You know, it was a fantastic start. And for all Lids got a hard time for bad goal kicking, both from the commentators and also from the fans elsewhere, he kicked a goal from 55 metres out and on an angle off his left.
Yeah.
That's a, at best, 5% shot.
He's, compared to the middle of the season, he's just looking so much better physically. Consensus best on ground from both coaches in votes this week.
And by the way, his second goal, left foot, 35 metres out, not an easy snap, and he hit the post twice. And the second time he hit the post in the fourth, it would have been, you know, one of the goal of the year candidates.
Mm.
He was, look, yes, I know he missed one easy shot, but even AFL players only hit those shots probably 80% of the time. He had a fantastic night. He was one of our best players.
Yeah, the third quarter, we kicked one goal, 9, but it was the, actually I had in my notes that we stopped being able to generate those easy shots at goal that we were getting in the first half. So they were all sort of, you know, 30-70 type shots. Now, we should have got more of them, but, we weren't, part of the problem was structural as well.
Yeah, by my count, and I didn't count rush behinds in this, and I must admit it's just my raw count that in that third we had 2 good shots and 7 bad shots. But 2 good shots, I mean, that you'd expect to hit more often than not. One of which was the shot that Lids missed. But the Crows, in fairness, in themselves had 6 crap shots in the second. Mm. Look, it was that kind of game where, because
conditions were tough.
It was hard to clear the forward press. Mm. So what that meant was that the ball could get locked down one end. Mm. You kicked a point. You could often get a second shot at goal by pressuring the kick out.
Yeah, for all the fuss about Sloan's goal that was overturned, you know, we didn't clear the ball and they got a goal again within about 60 seconds.
Yep, so. And that was happening to both teams for a lot of the night. But the thing is, when you get repeat shots from a point kick out, they're often rush shots.
Mm.
You know, that third quarter, the only set shot we had, I believe, was Lid's shot.
Mm.
Of those 2 good shots I counted, the other one was, remember Ben Griffith's snap, which he missed? I thought that was a gettable shot. So
yeah, I thought so too.
They were the 2 best shots of the third quarter. So, I mean, yes, we should have kicked more, but the sort of the constant BT's focus on the missed shots did annoy me.
BT had a terrible night. The Ben Griffiths is out of scoring range, and Richo's there. Oh, I think he's going to have a go. It was pretty funny.
Nick, we're going to dedicate a segment to BT's mistakes later.
Oh, okay, my mistake. Look, I want to, while we're on Richo, I just want to mention how much I loved his little half-suppressed yelp of joy when Dusty kicked the goal in the last quarter.
All right, well, the funny thing about that, Nick, is, you know, his sort of squeal of excitement when Richmond kicks a big goal, it's quite similar to yours.
Yeah, high-pitched. Not very manly.
But I have to say, credit to... Okay, he got excited when Dusty kicked that goal.
And fair enough, so did I.
so did I. But when Pods Yadley had that free kick paid to him and kicked the goal, I mean, that was... I was unbelievably black at that stage. And Richo was so calm, like he was sort of...
He's a real media professional.
Like, he manages, even though he is clearly biased, he's better at being unbiased than some commentators like BT, who clearly only care about themselves and don't have a club allegiance.
Mm.
But Nick, we started on Lids.
Mm.
Like, one of the things about this game that really stood out to me is this was a game that, as a whole, was owned by our stars.
It was.
Our 4 best players, I would argue, were better... Okay. With the possible exception of Jacobs, were better than the Crows' best player.
It's true. And the coaches' votes, 3 best players, clearly, Lids, Ellis, Chimp, right?
Yep.
Stood up. And one underrated aspect, we had our gun midfielders rotating through the forward line, which we do, you know, often do, but this time we structured it in a way so that Nathan Gordon would start deep forward and then, you know, pretty much roam back and forth up and down the ground because he's got an enormous tank and he was pretty effective doing that. But we'd have a resting midfielder a lot of the time in the goal square manning up on Brody Smith, who even now is the number one rebound 50 guy in the AFL, and we kept him to 9 possessions. That was a really smart bit of coaching.
It was. Actually, there was a really interesting thing we did with Rory Sloane as well, is we didn't sit, like, he's a brilliant contested ball player, but we didn't sit someone next to him at stoppages. He'd often be unmarked, but we'd have someone...
Vlossie put a bit of time into him?
He did, but often Vlossie would actually stand off him and then come to him sort of after the ball had gone up. Like, it was funny. Like, we were there for the... We were marking him, but not in a shoulder-to-shoulder way, but a sort of allowing the sort of the first wave of the contest and then come in. But, Nick, let's break down the big 3, and then we'll come to Miles. Cotchin.
Yep.
Played hard, played tough, was a real engine room game.
Played four quarters, really good defensively.
Yep, 19 contested possessions,
mm.
which is a lot. 10 tackles. He was a sort of, I thought he was the rock.
Mm. Stunning goal.
Stunning goal. And arguably, I don't think he meant it, but he may have left foot socketed it to Gordon for the go-ahead goal.
I thought that was intentional.
It's pretty hard to do intentionally, but the only person, him and maybe Lids, I could entertain the idea that was deliberate.
No, I saw him do it, and then just before he turned one of the bottles of water into wine.
Okay. Fair enough. And Miles again, another very solid game.
Another very solid game. A little bit quiet in the first half, really got going in the second half. Right, just, and the quality of his passing on a wet night as well. That really stood out for me.
Mm. Couldn't agree more. Edwards.
So, I think, I can't remember, might have been somebody saying that he's just had the best month of his football career. And so I had a look at the stats, and they really do stand out, because in the last month, he's averaging 19 disposals, a goal a game, and four clearances.
That's going to be his career average, isn't it?
It's almost identical. Over the season, it's, you know, within 5%. This season doesn't even rank possession-wise. It's about his fourth best season of his career. It's about his third best in terms of goals. You know, somehow, there's something about Shane Edwards, because what he does do is relatively spectacular. We're constantly surprised. We are goldfish supporters at the fact that Shane Edwards, you know, always produces about the same amount of stuff.
This is the one and only time we'll mention the movie Men in Black in this, but it's like he's got that device that makes people forget things. That, you know, at the end of every season, he just looks into the bright lights. You think Shane Edwards is a mediocre player who gets 13 touches a game? Shit.
Most improved.
You know, he owns that meter between the boundary line. He's just so good at finding space along there. Like, every game he does one spectacular sort of tightrope act. And, you know, he played, you know, South Australia's his hometown. I'm sure he has lots of family in those games. His dad's an SA NFL legend. He plays angry South Australian games.
It's fun to see. We've mentioned Ellis before.
By the way, that was such a big goal.
Oh, yeah.
Just before halftime, because that was against the run of play. That was a big goal. Anyway, go on.
Great goal. Brendan Ellis, last 7 weeks, everyone knows how well he's playing. He's miles in front now in the Coaches Association votes. He's been our leading possession getter in 6 of the last 7 weeks. He's averaging 31.5 disposals. In that time, he's top 10 in the AFL in rebound 50s. He's second in uncontested disposals in the AFL. Like, he's running teams into the ground.
I couldn't agree more. He's just... and if he kicked those 2 goals, you know, he could probably... It's reasonable to expect him to kick one of them. You know, BOG.
Mm. Instead of just being second best on the ground.
Nick.
Mm.
Benny Griffiths.
Benny Griffiths on the season has kicked 9 goals, 13.
Mm.
He's pretty frustrating.
Most celebrated 11-touch, one-goal game in the history of the Richmond Football Club.
Because he looks so good. And yet Ty Vickery kicks twice as many goals as he does. But Griffiths is a better centre-half forward.
He is. Well, if it had been a dry day, he would have taken 2 more contested marks, which, you know, would have given him quite a good... haul for the day. He was great late. He got all the way back to take a switch from Chaplin.
Which he's done in about 3 or 4 games now. Is just really... Maybe it's because he goes missing a little bit during games, but he's been instrumental in the last few minutes of games.
But he followed up his own kick, gathered the hard ball, and was instrumental in you know, setting up our eventual shot at goal, and was instrumental in setting up the shot at goal for Gordon's goal. So, crucial late, so people remember that. Was good in the ruck, although he didn't have a single free 7 win one touches. He didn't hit a Richmond player once, which is actually a very big great. He's great at winning the tap, not very good at hitting people. But overall, a really solid game. And, Nick, we were discussing this off-air. I mean, the rumours are just getting stronger and stronger about other clubs being into Ben, and, you know, he keeps kicking 70-metre goals. I don't think any club was surprised by that. BT was surprised by it because he doesn't do any research. I don't think clubs will be, but it's going to increase the rumours.
So to clarify on the rumours, he's not a free agent, he's just out of contract, which means, you know, 99% chance if he leaves the club, he'll do so in a trade.
Yeah, but it's all been out of contract. It loosens up the very gummed wheels of the trade machine. Ty Vickery and Griffiths. The difference is, I think, as we were discussing off air, is Ty's production is high.
Much higher.
Griffo's potential is high.
Yes.
Production versus potential. Classic sporting dilemma.
And yet they're 22 and 23-year-old 200-centimetre key forwards. It's frustrating. I think we're very big if we play both of them, but I think we should. Because Saturday night, even though it was wet, it did show, you know, Griffith still isn't great one-on-one on the forward line. He's okay if he can sort of run and free himself up, but he's not great one-on-one. And, you know, Jack had his pants handed to him. We needed a third marking target.
I'm glad you brought him up before we moved to the defenders. I wouldn't be shocked if Jack is injured. He looked a bit proppy to me.
A little bit. But Tully is very good.
Nick. You know who was icy?
No.
Troy Chaplin.
As in cool under pressure?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. And the commentators mentioned how much he was organising our backline. And our backline was so organised, it conceded one mark inside forward 50 to half time and four for the match.
That
Adelaide normally average about 11.
That mark he took in the last sort of 2 minutes, where he chest marked it, that was sort of big, low hanging stone fruit.
Yeah.
Mark, you know, almost every other player, including I think Alex Rance, would have punched.
Yeah.
On that occasion.
Definitely. The defence is playing so much better in the second half of the year, and an absolutely fantastic stat is that after 20 games this season and last season, we've conceded exactly the same number of goals and behinds.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Stevie Morris.
Much better game.
Credit to him.
He was coming off a low base.
But credit to him, he beat Betts.
He did, which, you know, no mean feat. Best small forward, all Australian small forward.
Near run thing.
Yep.
I think I've been a bit drier. Betts had taken that chest mark, which he dropped. It was sort of a basket catch. Could have been. They seemed to lose confidence in him too quickly. That they mentioned at one point that they put a tagging bets on the tagging role. I don't know, but it worked. There was many nervous moments right at the last moment when Morris gave away a big free kick to Betts. You might remember the last few minutes, but credit to him. You know, you can pick holes in it, and it still didn't feel like vintage Morris, but he beat him.
It was a good game. I enjoyed it. Speaking of defensive work, like with Thomas out of the side, they moved Vlossy into his midfield role, and I thought he had a really well-rounded game. So he was, for a young guy, his defensive work is of good quality, I reckon.
Oh, absolutely. And he and Grieg alternated on Sloan, and Sloan was sort of, Sloan had 19 on the night, which is below his season average of 23. I was really impressed with it. He had 19 pressure acts, which is a high number for Vlossy. You normally have to have a big tank to do that.
Actually, speaking of pressure acts, someone who made an unexpected appearance on our leaders for pressure acts was Dusty.
Yeah. I mean, not dominant, but...
He had 18. That was pretty good.
Not bad for him. Vlossy also kicked that really nice kick to Griffiths to set up the Gordon goal. Which was a pretty ballsy kick.
Ivan Marich during the week talked about how much he enjoyed playing with Vossi. Like, I think this was a nice little preview of Nick Vlostone, midfielder.
I think it's somewhat apt that he played on Rory Sloane because they're not dissimilar as players. Neither of them have huge... Well, especially... Sloane's getting better, but neither of them have huge tanks. But they're both... They both have this uncanny knack to tap the... Like, just in a contested situation, they so often do the right thing.
Mm. Yeah, Terry is for the ball. Speaking of Dusty, like, is he our home run hitter? You know? Doesn't do much for stretches of the game and just comes in and just bang, puts it out of the park.
I think I heard one of the Richmond players say that he is carrying something now.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, you know, he's playing more of course the half forward line and it's working.
Oh God. I love seeing him one out in the forward line. Like it almost seems unfair sometimes.
Nick, I wanted to mention this before, but I wanted to bring it up. You know that brilliant goal that Chimp kicked?
Yep.
Before the end of the first quarter. A few people have noticed this on the internet, but it's quite true. Lids helped put on the block.
Didn't he?
Lids wasn't looking at the ball when he did it. That was completely, you know, that was teamwork. And that's sort of what veteran teams do. It's that you're starting to see a bit of, we're reaping the rewards of having a stand to get an experienced team, a more experienced team on the park. That's how other teams used to get goals against us.
I know. I really liked that as a team we did a much better job of stopping Adelaide's flow through the middle. Like, that was a problem against Essendon. I thought most of the night that was a strength.
Oh, absolutely. Like, our whole team defence is getting better. And as you'd want it to, because I like Dylan Grimes, and I pointed out at that moment, he had several good moments in the last few minutes. You know, the ongoing Jade, you know, when Jade Batchelor gets sub, I'm never actually sure what James Batchelor's doing, because he's not actually in the play that much. Like, he's not even punching that much.
He's very physical when the ball does go near him.
Oh, yeah, he takes people out, like that.
Yeah.
It's a pity you don't get knocking people on your asses, like five Dream Team points, because...
He's not conceding much, except when he gets accidentally isolated against the really big guys. But, yeah, it's...
It is, like, if I could be bothered, because even when I go live to watch... I'm not watching Jay Batchelor.
No, that's true.
If I had infinite lives, I would go to a game and just watch Jay Batchelor and work out what he's doing all day.
I liked Pettard's game, actually. Again, part of the defensive work. But, yeah, just... Cracked in hard, did some good things, helicoptered a few kicks. Yeah, it was okay.
Mm. We mentioned him before, Gordon's good end to the game, though, but 17 touches, 2 goals.
Yeah, and some good leads. Like, he's gave some defensive pressure. That's what we've been looking for.
If he'd taken that mark when Dusty had got him over the back,
yeah,
that would have been the thing that took his game to, you know, being a really good game, because that was key game, because that's what he's there to do, because that was an over-the-back one. That was the only disappointment. Well, actually, no, that's not true. He's such an up-and-down footballer.
Yeah, he is. He's not a natural footballer.
He's capable of taking a really nice mark within 5 minutes and then losing a really bad contest and letting his man sprint off away from him.
Yeah.
It's quite... There's a huge gap between his floor and his ceiling in any given moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And as we mentioned before, he just plays like a 19-year-old who hasn't worked the game out.
And if you think that he's had several years at Sydney and now with Richmond, like, he's had some good coaches working with him. Yeah.
But there is this sort of weird hope that he is going to sort of cut out the worst 20% of his play and be quite a good player.
I know, for a 24-year-old who's played less than 10 games of AFL football, like, it's... Yeah, what can you say?
Nick, just quickly on Newey.
Mm.
5 games in a row, less than 13 possessions.
No. He's contesting hard and sticking to his man, and he's part of why our defence is so well organised. But, you know... It's the end is near.
Yeah. With dignity, though.
With dignity, yeah. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, so am I. That's about it for the game for me. Except, oh, we have to mention BT's idiocy. Quickly, I'll go first and you go with one. Not knowing that Richo did his knee at the SCG because it was famous, because there was quite a big controversy because Richo had to pull up quickly.
They moved the fences back at the SCG because of it. That was pretty famous. My favourite one was calling Ben Lennon for kicking the match-winning goal when it was Nathan Gordon.
Fair enough. VFL.
For me, the most disappointing aspect of it was that Chris Knights, good form last week, does a hamstring. Really disappointing for him.
Yeah, no, you could see in the highlights too that he was playing well before he got injured. So it was a shame, and he had a decent shot of being in the senior team. Like, I thought he had a shot of being the sub this week.
I know. Look, frankly, from the rest of the guys, it's hard to see anyone really putting pressure on for the season, for the seniors, like Matt D, good game in defence, 27 disposals, Aaron Edwards worked hard up forward.
Lloyd had 22 and 2.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
If Gordon hadn't been good this week, I think he'd be back in.
He'd be a chance.
McBean kicked a really nice goal.
Two nice goals, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
One stunning goal. Mattiana, 9 clearances. Dan Jackson, though, very, very tentative return. I'm worried about him.
Worried about him in the sense of this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Like, the next week's the last game of VFL, so he has one last chance to get himself fit for the Sydney game and maybe come on as the sub against Sydney, because, you know, that's still sort of an open question. Let's preview. So, yeah, disappointing VFL game, narrow loss, but not too much to come out of it. Why don't we talk about St Kilda briefly?
So when you look at their stats, they're terrible. Like, there's no... It's hard to sugarcoat it. They've got the worst possession differential in the league. They've got the worst percentage in the league. They concede the second most inside 50s, second most marks inside 50s. They're not very good at contested possessions. They are a bit good at clearances. Some of those older midfielders, plus guys like Jack Stevens, Armitage, they're okay. You know, there's still the spine of some of those really good teams. Sam Gilbert down back, Nick Riewoldt up forward. Like, you know, you can see how they can trouble a good team for periods at a time. But they're not very good.
They're not. But this is I caught you today, midday today, and I managed to talk myself into being worried about this game, which is normally sort of what you do, which
my
is
job.
Worry yep. irrationally about the other team. But I have sort of... I've convinced myself that they've sort of got all their old guys back. So even though they've got quite a long injury list of players you've never heard of, they're sort of all the old guys are there and playing. You know, they'd be a great Masters team in a few years. And so there is that sort of worry. It's their last game in Melbourne. It's the last game in Melbourne of Lenny Hayes. And, you know, there is they'll sort of get themselves up because I was sort of embarrassed last week. You know, there is a reason to be worried. Like, ideally, we need to win. We win
Maverick
this game by
Weller,
80 points.
Sebastian Ross, Josh Sorton, Clinton Shenton. Like, you know, never mind the average footy fan. Even footy heads don't know who these guys are.
Well, you say that now, but at 3 o'clock on Sunday, you'll be worried. Yeah, but it's a huge point spread. We should win.
42 point favourites.
It's at the G. Hopefully we'll get a dry day, so it'll be a nice open game and high scoring. Let's face it, open high scoring is not really what any AFL club, particularly not us, do anymore. So we'll see how we go. I'm excited to see it. It'd be nice. I'm quite happy with the... what I would like sort of on the selection front is... And I thought this was interesting, Nick. Did you notice in the post-match presser, Dimmer was asked who's coming back in? And he mentioned Jackson, and he thought about it for a second, and don't read too much into it, but he forgot about Conker.
Interesting.
And I'm sure he'll be in the mix, but you know what, Nick? Conker's been okay this year. Like, his numbers are actually pretty similar to Foley's, so people shouldn't be too down on him. But it's a pretty dumb act.
It was pretty stupid.
Lennon didn't really get a go last week. I'd be tempted to play Lennon and make Conker earn his spot.
The only argument against that is if clearances are the one thing that St Kilda do less badly than everything else, Conker's much more useful for that.
Yeah, and, you know, it's hard to go wrong picking extra mids in a game. But Yeah, I don't know. Like,
it's a thought.
It is a thought. You know, on the Dim is pretty strong these days and people earning their spot. Well, you know what? I think Conker forfeit hit his.
It was pretty stupid.
Just a thought.
Just a thought.
So we've got to talk about what everyone's really interested in.
Well, for the first time in my life, I was actually worried about North Melbourne's going before the tribunal.
Not only that, and Carlton.
And Carlton.
So set the scene. I think most people know this by now, but we win the next two games. Right. Basically, the only credible way we make the finals is we have to win the next two games.
Yep. Okay. And even then, we still rely on Adelaide losing one of the two games.
And they've got an easy game round 23, so they basically have to lose to North this week.
Mm.
Or Essendon doing the same.
Yeah. So one of those two teams has to lose a game.
And so Essendon has an easy game this week. Their big game is Carlton next week.
Mm.
Adelaide's hard game, and the most likely chance of us making the eight, if we win all our games, is North have to beat Adelaide this week in Tassie.
Yep. North, who lost Daniel Wells, and I reckon Boomer Harvey's probably gone for the season.
Just got my head in my hands. Yep. Bloody, North Melbourne and Adelaide, if you look at their records, they're my schizophrenic teams in the AFL at the best of times. Like, it's going to be a hard game to watch, and going into this game, I suddenly have sympathy. I've been texting a North Melbourne mate of ours about the game. And I'm starting to, I see for his time, for things from his perspective for the first time. They're a really hard team to follow because you just don't know what's going to show up.
Yeah, it's frustrating. They're about a goal favourite against Adelaide. Oh.
And it's a very North Melbourne thing to, just as you hit some good form to do, get, you know, your best player, and Boom Harvey is still probably their best player.
Yep.
You know, managing to get himself rubbed out for potentially the season. Just after Brian Lake did the same thing.
I know. I reckon Rory Sloane and Dangerfield might be carrying niggles, which is one point of hope for us.
Dangerfield got a corky on his left hip during the game. Hint, hint, North Melbourne coaching staff. Commentators didn't notice it. And Danger, we know, is injured, and his numbers have been well down the last 2 weeks with his sore knee. So, bit of hope there. They will maybe get Thompson back, who missed against us. So it's going to be a tense match.
Fingers crossed. So we're the last game of the round, so we'll sort of know all that's come before us.
So anyway, I think this is the one and only time we're ever going to end Richmond Tiger Talk with Go North!
Go North!
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Never been by Walcott there. A fight kick is being given. It's inside. Well inside.